played and I pretend that I don't notice when you're next to me, but I do. I might be mistaken, but I sometimes get the feeling that you notice too.
This is episode 15 of the North Fulton Drama Club podcast, hosted on the new and improved Georgia Podcast Network. This is the first of four cast podcasts for A Midsummer Night's Dream. In this episode, you'll hear from Jessica DeMaria, Larry Fisick, Rachel Pendergrass, Ron Ogden, and Sean Anderson.
You need direction for the podcast. I appreciate that, and I appreciate that you're asking me for a direction. It's pretty simple. First, you have to say who you are.
Okay.
So maybe you might want to do that.
I'm Jessica DeMaria, and I play Helena in this production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
So usually I have to prompt people to continue. Usually they say, my name is this.
My name.
And then silence. And then I say, and who do you play? So you went ahead and took care of that. That was
excellent.
Good.
I'm one step ahead.
So
winner.
You've done this show before.
Yes. I did this show in high school. That was actually my first and only previous experience performing Shakespeare, although I've read a lot and worked with it a lot in other ways. But I played Hermia, which is sort of the anti-Helena, in
yes.
the first time I was in it, which was funny because I know Rachel's lines, who plays Hermia,
right?
maybe better than my lines.
Maybe better than your own.
Sort of bizarre that, you know, after 10 years, they're still tucked somewhere back there. But we, can I talk about where we... the time period that we're setting?
Yes, you
year.
Can.
We also set that production of Midsummer Night's Dream in the late 60s, early 70s.
Cool.
Not as consistent as this one, unfortunately, because I, as Hermia, was wearing a silver pantsuit with a red scarf. It was sassy.
Sorry, am I interrupting?
No.
Oh, I am.
No, it's okay.
Can I have your iPod?
Sure you can. This is Alyssa.
Hi, everybody. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting to get music to teach the Tinkers a dance.
All right. You're going to find it under the... looking for under songs by the first name of the artist.
Of course.
Of course.
Why didn't I think of that?
I don't know.
Clara, right?
Yes. That's it.
But actually, speaking of doing this before, I think it's fascinating to see the different ways that people interpret the same material. So that it's been a totally unique experience for me to be in it this time. And obviously also I was only in high school.
Yeah, you were only in high school.
I was a wee band.
That was...
But,
That was, like, last year.
Yeah. 1998.
Actually. Oh, 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Gross.
So this is the 10th...
The 10th anniversary.
10th anniversary of your exposure to Shakespeare on stage.
Yes, and you know what I did? As I dug out the VHS recording of it, which I still have and enjoyed it immensely.
That's awesome.
I did. But that's sad because you know how your VHS, they're starting to, like, decompose.
Mm-hmm.
And I get very worried because everything that I've ever done is recorded on, you know, performance-wise, is recorded on VHS, and slowly it goes away and exists only in my memory.
Well, that's kind of the point of theater, though. Theater is an ephemeral art.
That's true.
You produce it, you perform it, people see it, they take it away in their memory. That being said, you know, I would like to have videos of all the shows that we've done.
Yeah. I'm a creature of hindsight. I always want to go back and revisit.
Are you a nostalgia addict?
Yes. It's a problem. I checked out one of those, like, self-help books from the library called Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda. How to, like, get past your life of regret. And then that's one of the things you don't want anybody to know you're checking out. So you're like,
can I just have this? Thanks. But you can handle that because you are a librarian.
Yeah, but so. I had to request it as a hold. So like, somebody, it was a whole. Everybody knew I was checking out. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
It's not for me. It's.
Yeah, so I was like, oh yes, I needed this for research purposes.
It's for my friend.
Who woulda, coulda,
shoulda. You wouldn't know her.
But I mean,
she
obviously,
lives in Canada.
She's Canadian.
She's
weird.
Canadian. Weird. They have a lot
but
of regret.
I mean, like, I think it's pretty crazy that clearly this is a problem that many people have because
yes.
There is a book, a series of books dedicated to it, and a branch of psychological therapy dedicated to it. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Except not cool. The opposite of cool.
Which would be lame. But that's okay. I have dealt with that for most of my life as well. That's our therapy moment. That's our therapy moment of this podcast.
But I guess the moral of that story is you can't really ever go back, and you should embrace the present.
Exactly, like you're doing right now.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
And I'm having a great time. I can't tell you actually how much of a great time I'm having. I haven't really performed since I graduated from school. So this has been such a great experience for me to just sort of take ownership of what I love, what I want to do. And I've been having such a great time with a bunch of kindred spirits and
yes,
getting to hang out with a bunch of high schoolers.
High schoolers. but they're not average high schoolers.
Oh, no, certainly not. They're exceptional. And yeah, I've enjoyed every second.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. How many shows have you done with us? Three. This is your third show.
This is the third show.
And who are you?
I...
This is for the Cast Podcast, by the way.
Well, yes. You mean my name or my character? Or both?
Well, at this moment in time, you're Larry Fisick.
This is true. I am Larry Fisick.
What's your plan?
Other moments and times, I may not be Larry Fisick.
That's true. Who are you playing?
I am Theseus, the Duke of Athens.
Ooh, Athens. That's where you went to college.
That is where I went.
So you're the Duke of where you went to college.
Yeah, it's pretty rocking.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
There's a bit of power to that. We didn't have Dukes when I went to college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I pretty much think that Michael Adams, you know, the president of UGA, I think he pretty much runs Athens anyway.
He's pretty much the Duke of Athens anyway.
Yeah.
So, what is Theseus? How is he different than who you played before?
different than what I've played before. Well, mainly before, let's see, I was the clown in Love's Labour's Lost.
Yes.
So, you know, kind of a bit more light and, sort of one-dimensional-ish. And then in Merry Wives, I was Mr... I forget which one.
Okay, Which husband was Larry in Merry Wives?
I was George. That was my first name.
Yes. Not Mr. Ford.
You are not Mr. Ford.
Mr.
Right.
Page.
You are Mr. Page.
Christ, and it's only been 6 months?
I had to eventually get around to Elizabeth Blakemore was Mrs. Page. You were Mr. Page.
Yeah.
Are we recording?
Yep.
Yeah,
oh,
we're recording.
Wow, I'm on tape.
So an assist from Nikki, who has brought me a baking sheet, which has nothing to do with the play.
So, yes, Mr. Page was, again, a bit one-dimensional, although the father figure, which is something that I'm normally not used to playing, so that's always kind of interesting. But I think I had fun with it, and I was able to make him kind of stand out as his own sort of character, or caricature, almost, as it turned out to be.
So Theseus
is a bit different because he's like, you know, he's the guy in charge and you know, not so much with the comedy in Theseus's character, kind of more of the guy who sets the play in motion and wraps it up. Essentially, is kind of how I think about Theseus's character.
He's kind of a swinging guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's dressed? How we have him dressed? In wintergreen?
Yes, spearmint.
Spearmint.
Yeah, it's kind of an icy green.
Dressed in an icy green leisure suit kind of a thing.
It's going to be fantastic.
A pale mint.
And for this role, you've not cut your hair?
Yes. I haven't had my hair cut. Let's see. What is today's date? It's April 23rd. So it's been 5 or 6 months since I've had a haircut last. So it's getting kind of bushy. Not gonna lie.
And we're gonna probably bush it out.
Yeah, the '70s. There are two things about the '70s: fringe and froze.
Fringe and froze. And so Larry will be sporting a white boy fro.
Since I've got a natural aptitude for it.
Since you have the natural aptitude for it, we might as well take advantage of it. Awesome. Do you have any words of wisdom to leave on this here podcast?
Project, cheat out, learn your lines.
Good boy.
My name is B. Rachel Pendergrass, and I'm playing Hermia.
What a strange verb construction you just did there. You're playing Hermia. What is a Hermia?
She is this kind of... I don't know. She's very strong. She's in love with Lysander, and her father is kind of in love with Demetrius and wants her to marry him. She has her own ideas.
Ah.
Ah.
So, this is your... Here comes
I'm going
Ben.
To change my sheets, don't worry.
Okay, thank you, Ben. So this is your second show.
Performing. I did the techie stuff.
You were the techie, of course. But this is your second show on the grass stage.
Yes, it is. It is indeed.
So this role, it's a little different from your first one.
Yeah, it's a bit bigger. It's a bit more plot central.
Yeah.
Although I'm never gonna diss Moth. That was a great role.
What was Moth?
Moth was Don Armato's little page thing that followed him around. Of course, Don Armato was played by the amazing Thomas Strickland.
He was awesome.
He was. Man, that guy can act.
Oh, look. Ooh. And speaking of awesome.
Oh, my gosh. That is a fantastic costume.
Hello, Eileen. Oh, if only the podcast were video. But it's not. If only the podcast were video, but it's not.
One day we'll
have videos.
That would be awesome.
It would be.
We should do that.
Someday. All right. Well, I guess you're off the hook, unless you have some words of wisdom that you would like to spread.
I was actually thinking about newspaper quotes I should have used this morning.
Oh.
You got interviewed for a newspaper?
You did too.
Well, you weren't there.
I didn't get interviewed. You just asked my name.
Oh, well, he
Well, that counts as kind of an interview.
A couple
and then
questions.
He asked us what our problem was with the 70s.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. And I was like, you could have asked us better questions, like, what is it about Shakespeare that is so hard to act? And I would have been like, well... Shakespeare has very dynamic characters, and they're very true to life, and it's very hard to bring that to the stage.
Brilliant.
And it would have been so quotable, and it would have been great. It would have been way better than, ooh, Shakespeare tight.
There's nothing wrong with that. That made famous by our own Anna Rich.
That was fantastic.
My hair doesn't say parted in the middle.
Yeah, well, no.
Why doesn't my hair say parted in the middle? Well, thank you very much, Miss Rachel.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You're good on podcasts.
Not that great on podcasts.
See, now you're speaking very softly.
Be loud.
Oh, you don't want me to be?
Be your normal self.
I'll be a Geas.
You can be a Geas. So what's your name?
My name is a Geas.
Who's playing you? God, this is weird.
This weird man I know, his name's Ronald Ogden, and I don't quite like how he's portraying me much. However, he does do a fairly wonderful job being a father figure, even though he might be one of those father figures you wouldn't want your father to be. He does, however, have a soft side, which we see later in the play, when he decides to cry in front of everyone and be sad.
Oh, but, spoiler alert, spoiler alert,
oh,
crying.
Spoiler.
Oh, no.
Oh, whoops. I mean, he's totally not emotional at all and loves being angry and wants his daughter to die. So that's how that goes.
Is that the truth?
That's how I go. I'm leaving now. Bye.
So what do you think of this role, Ron? Who's not Aegeus anymore?
I'm definitely not Aegeus anymore. I like it. It's a different style for me. It's definitely a little bit further away from the physical comedic act that I'm used to.
That's what we promised you.
It is what I was promised, and I've enjoyed it. I think, at least I feel like I've answered the call, as they might say.
I think you have.
I think some things that could be worked on, but it's limited here in this play, I think, this character. So,
well,
he still has to be humorous in some way, or he brings down the rest of the energy of the show. So,
such a downer.
Right, so.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that you make me do weird things coming out of it.
Hey, running around. I like that. It's funny.
It is funny.
It's funny.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's still a part to this character that needs humor.
Yes.
Because it is a comedy, so.
Yes. And how's the suit?
The suit is rather large, but I'm a rather large man, so.
I had heard tell that this is your first suit.
No, this is not my first suit. I've had suits before.
But right now, at home, and in your closet, do you have a suit?
No, I do not.
Ah-ha-ha!
I do not have a suit at home.
Ha-ha. So, you're suited here.
Apparently, I'm suited here. We were going to get a suit, but We have one now. So there we go.
And you look good in it.
Oh, thanks. It could use some tailoring.
As could we
At
all.
Least the coat could use some tailoring.
Eh. Meh.
It's good.
It's good.
It is good.
We like it.
I like it.
Thank you, Ron.
So who are you?
You're awesome.
I'm Sean Anderson.
We've been over this before.
We've been over this.
And who are you playing?
I'm playing Lysander, one of the four Athenian youths.
Youths?
Youths.
Youths?
Youths. One of the four Athenian youths.
What's a ute?
We all remember that movie. Actually, I don't think any of us have actually seen that movie.
I love that movie. Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
My Cousin Vinny?
Yeah. Cannot believe Marissa Tomei won an Oscar for it, though.
Then she doesn't believe it either. That's the reason why she hasn't won anything since. Anyway, Sean, you were in this play.
I am.
Who is Lysander? Yes, you are. By the way,
Lysander is the one of the two guys who is in competition for the hand of Hermia, and he is Hermia's choice, but not Hermia's father's choice. And so, hilarity ensues. Drugs are involved, and he does end up with the girl.
Wait, drugs are involved?
Oh well.
I think
love and idleness.
I think love and idleness is involved.
Right.
Flower magic.
Love juice.
Love juice from
sweet,
the, from
magical
the
nectar.
Sweet, sweet magical nectar from the fairies. This is your fifth show with us.
It is, and I really like you guys.
We like you too.
I'm going to keep trying out as long as I'm still able-bodied.
Do you expect to not be able-bodied anytime soon?
Well, you know, you never know. And I don't like to jinx it by saying no.
His steam-powered bicycle might be the death of him.
If the boiler doesn't explode, you know, I might have, you know...
Please do not...
Misconnected the brakes.
Please do not invent a steam-powered bicycle.
Oh, well, I mean, there's nothing to invent, you know.
It's already been invented.
Robert Fulton,
yes, I know. Ah, yay. Geekery. So, Sean is an inventor of things. You have many inventions.
A tinkerer
in his own right. And you were telling us quite a few months ago, maybe a couple of months ago, about your smoker.
Yeah, the cold smoker in which I make bacon. And I was looking at it the other day, actually, and thinking that it doesn't just have to be a cold smoker, that it could be so much more. Because as I was looking at the rig, I realized that I have a hot box where the smoke is generated, I have the tube through which the smoke travels, and I have the cold box, which the item to be cold smoked is placed inside. And it occurred to me that the hot box could be a hot smoker, so I could simultaneously be hot smoking and cold smoking two different food items. I could conceivably be making smoked salmon and bacon simultaneously.
Salmon-flavored bacon.
How long does it take to smoke a bacon?
12 hours.
Is that the right word? A bacon?
Smoke a bacon.
A bacon?
Smoke a slab of bacon.
Smoke a slab of bacon?
I smoke mine for 12 hours. Though you could do it longer if all you want to taste is smoke, and less time if you just like salt.
I would think, though, that smoking salmon, just having it sitting out like that, might, I don't know, for 12 hours?
You do have to monitor the temperature inside the cold box, because if the cold box is a misnomer. It's not cold so much as it's not hot.
It's anti-hot.
It's lukewarm. If it gets above 80 degrees, then you worry about the raw pork sitting in there for 12 hours.
Which has nothing to do with the show. Is this the show?
Though the show does have several hams in it.
It does have many hams in it. That was great. So this show, do you think this role is different than the roles you've had with us previously?
It's definitely different. You've trusted me with more lines this time.
Oh.
You've trusted me with more time in front of people this time. So the pressure is on not to disappoint. You know, the pressure is on definitely to learn the extra lines and also, you know, not to look like a fool. And I think, it's been a real help that you guys have really been supportive throughout this whole thing, you know, since you kind of created the monster, that, you know, at least you're still feeding it and taking care of it.
Well, you know, we feel it's our responsibility to make sure that you are always challenged with something new. Because if, you know, we're not going to cast you in something that we know that you can do very well. I mean, I know that sounds like it runs contrary to logic, but in your case, you audition, and if we find, if we have a role for you, we're usually looking for a role that's going to challenge you. It's just fun to pull you back and watch you go, Sean.
Like one of the little zippy cars.
Like a little zippy car.
Well, you certainly certainly accomplished that. I think there's no shortage of challenges. Each time, I don't think I've ever had a role that reminded me of a role that you've given me before. So I've been able to try something new, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But in the end, you guys always help me come up with something that doesn't look stupid on stage. Or unless it's supposed to look stupid, and then you help me make it look as spectacularly stupid as possible.
That's our goal. Fantastic. Do you have any words of wisdom that you would like to tag on to the end of this?
The only words of wisdom I have are, you know, I can't believe how much fun this is, and I can't believe I was ever reluctant to do it. And I think that anyone out there who has ever even had any sort of inkling that they might want to act or pretend to be someone else for a while should try it out, because it's not as scary as it seems initially. Or it's just as scary as it seems initially, but it's not impossible. It's not as unattainable as it seems.
We have one more weekend of Midsummer on May 16th and 17th, but if you missed us at Barrington Hall, find us in June at the Gwinnett County Community Theater Festival. For more information about the festival or North Fulton Drama Club in general, please visit us at www.northfultondramaclub.org. And the song you heard at the beginning, and that you're about to hear again, is Drinking With You by Jonathan Colton, made available through a Creative Commons license.
We work late and I pretend that I don't notice when you're next to me, but I do. I might be mistaken, but I sometimes get the feeling that you notice too. That's near here, quiet, dark, and small. When we're finished here, I think that I may want a beer. How about you? It'd be nice to go out drinking with you. You would think that we've danced around each other long enough to know where to stand. My heart stops in a panic when I think how it would feel to finally hold your hand. So we wait for this to happen, or make it happen now. Either way, I think that we should start off with a drink, maybe two. It'd be nice to go out drinking with you. Play it nice and cool and keep the pressure off. Invite our friends. We'll have a few too many. We'll discreetly share a cab home when the evening ends. When we reach that awkward moment, standing at your door, we won't even know, cause we'll just smile and let it go, sail on through. Be nice to go out drinking.